The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." You may be seated. So here every year we hear this question posed to Jesus about himself, about the Christ. So how did Jesus answer this question? Well, he pointed to the scriptures about what was said, or what was said through the prophets about the coming Messiah. He preached to them this word of God and pointed to the truth that in their midst is the one who was not only promising the Christ, but is the Christ himself. The very one who even said, "I send my messenger," the one who fulfilled all things. So the Christ had come, and there is no other. There's not an addendum to the work of our redemption. There is no other name in heaven and on earth by which man is saved. It's Jesus and him alone. He is the Christ. And you know, this is as it's been taught and preached to you. There's no question that Jesus is the Christ and you should look for another. End of story, right? Well, yeah, to some extent. But let's go a bit further and listen to what Jesus said at the end of pointing them to his fulfillment of the scriptures. He said, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Now, at this point, it's easy for us to pick up our stones and casting them outward at this comment. The world has plenty examples of how it responds to the word of God. loving Christ and loving his word go together? And do people find Christ offensive? To those outside of Christ, yes. It is, as the Greek word puts it, a scandal or a stumbling block. Jesus is the rock of offense, yet the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That's true. Christ is mocked, scoffers scorn, they ridicule the scriptures. The influence of the Christian church is dwindling to the point that things are becoming just downright hostile to God's people. All of this is true, and it's a call to repentance that is to be preached. And you don't have to look far, you don't have to look long to see any of these things. This morning, though, the Lord is talking to you. So what about you? Blessed are those who are not offended by me. Does that describe you who are sitting here? Jesus isn't just talking to those people outside of the church. He's talking to you right now, today. Now, this is where things start to get a bit personal. Because it means when you listen to this word of God, you must look at yourself. Look at your life. Look at your heart and examine it according to God's word. So when you look at your life in relation to Christ, his word, and his church, what's your response when you hear and read the scriptures, when you listen to sermons? What is it? Is it something akin to, if only I could see him, if only my family believe, if only I had answers to why I'm suffering or those I love are suffering, if only what his word says didn't put me at odds with my friends and coworkers, if only he didn't call me to repent of my sin, if only he would tell me that following him was not taking up a cross and being faithful, or it means that I must sacrifice things in this life and me or my family might miss out on doing something that we really like to do. Or take it a bit farther. I wish I could just have that one argument, then people would believe. I wish there would be some sign I could have as an extra measure that I just didn't simply have to trust God's word alone and those promises from the Bible. I wish God would answer my prayer according to how I want it to be and according to my time. God may be saying all these things and he may still be working in my life, but I sure don't feel like it. You get the picture. So listen to Jesus. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. God calls you to hear the word of God, not stumble over it, but keep it. He calls you to live by faith. And in some sense, it's no different now that God's word is given and proclaimed to you that the people in the reading had. Jesus had come. There's no other. God's word is given to you. You have it. And think about, too, just for a second, how accessible it is to you and this great gift you have of being able to come here and sit in this place freely, that you can go and readily get a Bible in your own language just like that, or even pull it up on your phone. And so God calls you to listen. He calls for the word of God to dwell in you richly. You're called to trust his word. The people waited for years and generations for the Messiah to come and redeem them. They were called to listen and keep looking in faith to what God promised. You receive Christ and his benefits through the word of God, and amid whatever is going on in your life, you are called to trust that word. There are no stipulations on this, and there are no loopholes. So examine your life. See where you've doubted. See where you've wavered. See where you've sought to exalt yourself. See all of this revealed to you by your Lord and repent. And there's also a temptation to offend by just simply being a jerk and not adorning the word of God with humility. Because part and parcel of the Christian life is a life lived in humility which confesses sin and clings in faith to Christ. It's also, as a fruit of faith, it lives out a life which seeks to walk in the way that God instructs you through his word. Being a doer of the word, as the scriptures calls it, is one who is not offended in confessing and living out the new life in Christ God has called you to and teaches to you. So that life lives as a witness or a confession to the faith you have been given. There's a reason why people are offended or sometimes roll their eyes at Christians when they say one thing and then their lives are completely different. A charge of hypocrisy leveled against the church is not always a false charge. So just as you are not offended by the word of God, don't let those things in your life, in relationship to God's word either, show that you are offended. So the gospel is not just some afterthought. It's not just some article of faith among many things. No, it's the predominant proclamation and informs how we speak, how we act, how we preach, how we interact with the world around us. So when we do speak, even if it's hard words, we do so in the spirit that loves our neighbor because Christ has died for them even as he loves us. And if God's word offends, then so be it. But let it not be said that we got in the way of the word of God and placed ourselves over and above it in such a way that we become the scandal. And so living by faith is trusting the Lord who has created you, who has redeemed you by the blood of Christ, and who has called you by the gospel. Trusting in God's word regardless of the cost and not being offended or scandalized by the word, but seeing it for what it truly is, the words of eternal life, you cast all things onto Jesus. You trust that those who believe in Christ will never be put to shame, as the scriptures tell you. You suffer the consequences, whatever they may be, for your Lord speaks and you listen. You don't put yourself first, and you know with confidence at the end of the day that all things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. And there's great comfort in all of this, dear people of God, and great reason to rejoice exceedingly with great joy. Confess your sin and see the Lord who is merciful, the Lord who forgives you. Look outside of yourself and follow the example of John the Baptist, who said of Jesus, "He must increase, I must decrease." That's the voice of faith, a martyr's faith, that goes even to death for the sake of Christ and his word, knowing that in Jesus, the Lord who has promised and who has come and won the day, in him there is eternal life. Sometimes you reap the benefits in this life. Sometimes you're thrown into prison and eventually killed, as was the case with John the Baptist. Even those during those times when it seems as all hope is lost, you keep trusting and clinging to Christ, whose words bring comfort and peace. In faith, through the word, you commend yourself and all people to God, who alone is just, who is merciful, who forgives and gives life. So whatever the case or the future entails, you keep letting God's word be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. For you know that the word of the Lord will stand forever. And you know, the more you look to Christ and outside of yourself, the more joy you see, and you find yourself rejoicing in any and every circumstance. It happens, and God does grant you to see this joy in the faith that he has given to you. God's word becomes something for you as you go through this life too. It's far from a stumbling block. It's comfort. Because you see God's faithfulness to his promises that he has made to you, and you know that each day the Lord is faithful and he will always be faithful. You start defining your life by what God says, and if called to suffer all, even death, for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, so be it. You do it rejoicing every step of the way until your last breath on this earth, because you know that you will be rejoicing before the throne of God forever, and all of God's saints will be standing next to you rejoicing with you. So take heart, dear people of God, this day. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So that's your response to when the Lord speaks to you. It's not offensive to you, but reason to rejoice. It's the third Sunday of Advent. Don't look for another. Look to the Lord Jesus who has come. He's the Christ. And he's yours. And he has come, and he comes to you now, and he's coming again. So listen to him. Take and eat his very body and blood given and shed for you, for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. The day for rejoicing is here. He's redeemed you by his blood, and you are an heir of eternal life. Always remember that. Always hear that. Always cling to that. What a joy it is to know this and have this and to confess this in the world. You are a Christian, and in times of great sorrow, rejoice, trusting in the same Lord who has washed you clean in the waters of holy baptism. And the humdrum, day-to-day things of this life, rejoice. Even when death stares you in the face on this side of the grave, it seems, and life on this side of the grave seems to be coming to an end, you rejoice because you know that you have eternal life. And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." What wonderful words to have placed before you, your eyes today, this Advent. God is yours. Strife, violence, sin, sickness, persecution, upheaval, the devil, death, they've been overcome. And their works will come to an end. John the Baptist lost his head for the sake of Christ. But the Lord raises bodies from the grave and restores them to immortality and incorruption. So your future, God's word teaches you, God's word proclaims to you, God's word promises you, is a future of comfort and joy. Rejoice in him and rejoice as you look forward to that day when he comes again, not in the lowliness of the manger or hidden in means, but when he comes in great glory as only he can do. He is at hand. He is coming again to take you to comfort beyond compare that will last forever. Lord Jesus, stir up your might and come to save us. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.